وعلى سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: بدأ الإسلام غريبا وسيعود غريبا كما بدأ، فطوبى للغرباء، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected friends and elders, in the early days in Mecca, at the beginning of the Nubuwwat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then together with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the few Sahaba radiyallahu anhum that had accepted Iman and believed in the message of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they had all suffered dearly and greatly at the hands of Nabi, at the hands of Kuffar Mecca. The non-believers were tireless in their efforts to deter the new Muslims, to sway them away from Deenul Islam and to bring them back onto the path of Kufr, Shirk and the path of Jahannam. Every effort was made on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba radiyallahu anhum. Different offers were made. Sometimes women were offered, sometimes money was offered, sometimes they were threatened, and on many occasions they were physically beaten up and punished to try and force them out of the fold of Islam. But respected friends and elders, when Iman penetrates to the bottom of the heart, and when a person understands the value of Iman, then all the threats in the dunya and all the temptations of the world would not move the Iman of that mu'min. This lesson we get even before our ummah. In the time of Musa alayhi salam, when the magicians had accepted Islam, the magicians who were actually supposed to be on the side of Fir'aun, defending Fir'aun, when they accepted Islam, Fir'aun also threatened them. Fir'aun said, I will kill you all, I will crucify you all, I will chop your hands and legs from opposite ends. Still, they said, إِنَّمَا تَقْضِي هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. Your effect will only be here in the worldly life. Our iman is for akhirah. When we go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we expect rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the nature of iman. When we believe in Allah, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when iman comes into the bottom of the heart of a person, then nothing can remove it, respected friends and elders. وَكَذَلِكَ بَشَاشَةُ الْإِيمَانِ لَا تُخَالِطُ قَلْبًا فَتَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ. In the famous hadith, where Hercules, Herakl, the Roman ruler, had this conversation with Abu Sufyan about the Muslims, he also commented that in the nature of Iman is such. Caesar was a Christian, and he knew the descriptions of believers. He says, Iman is such, when it enters a heart, لا تخرج منه. It doesn't come out. That is why we find, in the beginning days of Islam, in the early days in Mecca, the ayat of Quran, the surahs, etc. that were revealed, all were about imaniyat. The basic theme of the Makki surah is about our iman. Tawheed, believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as one God only, one ilah, one deity. Risalat, believing in the prophethood of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And akhirat, believing in akhirah. And the concept of jannah, jahannam, hisab and accountability, يوم الحساب يوم القيامة, standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was nurturing the iman of sahaba radiyallahu anhum, and the iman was getting stronger and stronger and stronger, and the stronger the iman became, the more they resisted the onslaught from kuffar. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith of Muslim Sharif reported by Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, بَدَأَ الْإِسْلَامُ غَرِيبًا. Islam commenced as something غَرِيب, strange. When Islam started, it was something very strange. It was peculiar. It was odd. The person who was a Muslim at that time was the odd one out. There were few people in Mecca who had accepted the message of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam initially. And slowly, very slowly, the numbers increased and increased and increased. So Islam started as something something gharib, something strange, something odd, something that was frowned upon. That's exactly what the Sahaba radiallahu anhum endured here, respected friends and elders. Sayyidina Mus'ab bin Umair radiyallahu anhu. On one hand, before accepting Islam, he was among the richest youngsters of Makkah. His mother was very wealthy. She used to buy for him the best of clothes, the best of shoes, the best of perfumes. Kana a'tara ahli Makkah. From all the Meccans, he had the best of perfumes. In fact, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had commented about his days before Islam, ma ra'aytu bi Makkah ahadan. I never saw any other individual in Makkah ahsana limmatan, who had better hair and was more well groomed. وَلَا أَرَقَّ حُلَّةً, and wore better clothes. وَلَا أَنْعَمَ نِعْمَةً, and enjoyed much more luxury and affluence and comforts من مُسْعَبِ بْنِ عُمَيْرِ than مُسْعَبِ بْنِ عُمَيْرِ رضي الله عنه. He was a young Sahabi. And then he heard about the message of Islam and that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is inviting towards Deenul Islam. He goes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and accepts Islam. But he conceals his Islam from his parents. One day somebody sees him praying, somebody sees him reading salah. So they spy him out and then report him to his parents. And then from then on they also began to torment him, punish him. And then they began to deprive him of his comforts. This is also one form, respected friends and elders, of Islamophobia. In the dunya today, if you look around us, then in many places of the world, there are people who are suffering from Islamophobia. There's an onslaught against Islam. Sometimes it's a threat to their safety, a threat to their life, a threat to their belongings. Sometimes it's in a form of temptations and not threats. Temptations of wealth, temptation of woman, temptation of position, glory. Sometimes it's the risk that a person, if he sticks on his Islam, he will lose that comfort that he had. Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu gives us that particular lesson, respected friends and elders. That for being on Islam, he had to give up all his luxuries and all his comforts. You know, time and again we hear the i'lan, the announcement from the Jamaat Satis after Salah, or in the Bayan, or when they come for Gush in the home, that by the most valuable thing Allah has given us is our Iman. Nothing is more valuable than Iman. It's not just a statement, respected friends and elders. It's a haqiqah and a reality which was given to Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Allah allow it to dawn upon us as well. Allah put that also in our hearts, that Iman is the most valuable thing that a man can get in this world. He can sacrifice everything else, but he can't sacrifice his Iman. Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu. Every youngster. But when we old and cold, it's different. There's nothing good to look forward to in life, so to say. You make do with what you have. But when you are young and you're growing up, then you want everything of the best. You want to compete with the next person. And especially when you are coming from that kind of a position, when you are already known as the best and the most well-dressed person, well-groomed, and the best perfumed person in Makkah, now to be deprived from all of that. You're accepting Iman. You stay on Iman and Islam. We will not give you your good clothes anymore. We won't give you that spending anymore. We will not give you that type of perfume anymore. You'll be deprived of all of those luxuries. But Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu realized that Iman is much more valuable than all of that. And he remained in this condition. He had to leave Makkah. He made hijrah and went to Habsha and Abyssinia, respected friends and elders. He left Makkah. He left that life of luxury to preserve his Iman. And he left this dunya also in that state when he passed away in the battle of Uhud. Then there wasn't even sufficient kafan to cover his body. A boy who used to walk around Makkah with the most expensive clothes leaves this dunya with such a kafan, such a cloth that enshrouded for him, respected friends and elders, that couldn't cover him from head to toe. If his head was covered, his feet were exposed. If his feet was covered, his head was exposed. This is how he's leaving the dunya. That how you leave is, and the clothes you are wearing and the kafan you have makes no difference. It's the a'mal that you take with you. It's the iman that you take with you. This is the lesson of Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu. For every Muslim in this day and age as well, young and old, that whatever the challenge may be outside, if it's compromising on my deen, then my deen comes first. We will not sell any command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in exchange of any luxury or any form of wealth or any other thing of the dunya. A person that allows this to happen and he makes this his habit, that he gives up the command of Allah. Salah he never read because he was with his friends. He never read salat because he was in his business. He never abided by other commands of Allah because of influence of people around him. That Allah save us, a time may come when he won't bother about his Iman also. And he may give up that as well to acquire something of the dunya. Sahaba taught us the complete opposite, respected friends and elders. Bada al-Islamu ghariba. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu anhu's incident is also famous. In the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Abdullah bin Hudhafa was sent with an army to fight against the Greeks and the Romans. He was captured together with others and was brought in front of their ruler and their king. That king and that ruler made an offer to him, tried to make a deal with him. هَلْ لَكَ أَن تَنَصَّرَ, he tells him. Why don't you become a Nasrani, a Christian? وَأُشْرِكُكَ فِي مُلْكِي وَسُلْطَانِي. And I will give you half. I'll make you a shareholder. I'll give you half of my kingdom. If you give up Deenul Islam, you will become, in other words, a ruler of half my kingdom. You'll become half a king. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu anhu replies, and he gives us a lesson also, respected friends and elders, that Islamophobia presents itself in different forms. Islam will be looked down upon. Islam will be frowned upon. You'll be made to feel that you are the odd one out. Join the rest. Join us and get all the pomp of the dunya. Come in my kingdom, he's offering him. He says, لو أعطيتني ما ملكت. Whatever you own also, if you gave me your whole kingdom. وجميع ما ملكته العرب. And you gave me all the wealth of the Arabs as well. All your wealth, the wealth of the Greeks. Your entire kingdom. And give me whatever the Arabs also own. على أن أرجع من دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم طرفة عين ما فعلت. If you gave me all of that and told me, take all of this and give up Deenul Islam, the Deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for 1 second also. For the blink of an eye only, if you become a Christian and go back to Islam, give me all of that and offer me all of that, I'll never do so. I'll never give up my deen for dunya and for worldly gain, even if it be tarfat ayn. Sometimes the thought crosses the mind of a person that, you know what, I'll indulge in this wrong, then I'll make tawbah later on. Sayyidina Abdullah gives us this lesson, respected friends and elders. What if in that split second? What if at that time your death comes to you? What if at that time you leave this dunya? What will be your condition in the akhirah? So no matter how much is offered from deen, offered of the dunya, respected friends and elders, Sahaba radiallahu anhum, because of the strength of their iman, because they understood the haqiqah of the whole life of this dunya and the everlasting life of akhirah, were not prepared to give up anything, even a single command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The incident of Abdullah bin Hudhafa continues. That king then tells him, then I'm going to kill you. He says, then that's up to you. So the king instructs his soldiers to take him, tie him to the tree or to a crucifix. But don't shoot him, make him scared. Shoot the arrow near his hands and near his feet, near his head. And see if he shakes, you know, if he gives up. They did this. Still Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu anhu was not prepared to give up his Islam and his iman. Then they bring him back to the king. The king then says, okay, bring up a pot of boiling oil or a drum of boiling oil. And then he brings other captives of the Muslim army that were captured. And he brings them and he says, put this person, ask him to give up iman and Islam, become a Christian. He refuses. Then he says, put him inside there and kill him. That person also gives his life like that. Not giving up deenul Islam, dying in boiling oil, but my iman must remain intact. That's what I need to hold on to. Abdullah bin Hudhafa is told that if you don't give up now, you're also going to meet the same fate. You're also going to be killed like that. He says again, it's up to you. Then as the soldier is taking him now to kill him like that and put him in boiling oil, Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu anhu starts crying. So they think that maybe he is now scared, maybe he's hesitating, maybe he'll change his mind. So they bring him back to the king. The king asks him, why are you crying? Are you prepared now to give up your iman? Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu anhu says, no, I'm not prepared to give up my iman. I'm not crying because I'm going to die. I'm crying because I realize I only have one life. If I had lives equal to the number of hair on my body, I wish I had that amount of lives that I could give each one of them like this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respected friends and elders, what a great lesson for all of us. That our priorities have to be right. Deenul Islam, the command of Allah, our iman, is the most valuable thing. This will become clear and manifest on Akhirah, on the day of Qiyamah, when no person can bring iman now. On the day of Qiyamah, when a kafir will be thrown to Jahannam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those kuffar will wish that they can give everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, take everything. يَوَدُّ الْمُجْرِمُ لَوْ يَفْتَدِي مِنْ عَذَابِ يَوْمِئِذٍ بِبَنِيهِ. On that day, say, oh Allah, take my children also. Take my wife also. Take woman fil ardi jami'a. Take everybody else to save me from Jahannam. Kalla, never. If the person wants to offer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mil'ul ardi dhahaban, The whole earth full of gold. Imagine this masjid made of gold, pure gold. What value? And then this street, every home in gold. And this city, Allah says, mil'ul ardi dhahaba. If the entire earth is filled with gold also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never accept it as ransom. If the kafir wants and he says, oh Allah, take whole world full of gold, save me from Jahannam, it will never be accepted. But a person presents la ilaha illallah. A man takes his iman and he goes, leave all the gold in this dunya, take iman and go. And that will save him from Jahannam. That's the value of iman, respected friends and elders. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in that hadith of Muslim Sharif, bada al-islamu ghariba. Islam started as something odd. That Muslims were frowned upon. They were downtrodden. They suffered at the wrong end of the stick. They were being antagonized, punished, threatened. وَسَيَعُودُ غَرِيبًا كَمَا بَدَى. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prepares the minds of the ummah that like happened to my sahaba, a time will come when Islam will return to that state of being gharib, being odd, being strange. The Muslims again will be suffering. The Muslims again will be like those who are the odd ones out. Islamophobia will return in all its forms. It will become gharib again. Respected friends and elders, for many people in this dunya, that time has come. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by and large has saved us, alhamdulillah, in our environments. But individuals also may face situations like this, even in our country, or whilst traveling, where you are sidelined, you are maligned, you are singled out, because of being a Muslim, because of looking like a Muslim, because of dressing like a Muslim, because of having a Muslim name. This is part of now the hurbat, part of being the odd one out, respected friends and elders. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by saying this, is drawing our minds to that first condition. That when the time comes that Islam becomes again like this, you suffer again Islamophobia and antagonization against Islam and attacks against Islam. Remember, Islam passed a phase like that also in the past. And call to mind the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, how they withstood that test, respected friends and elders. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the time will come again when Muslims will be singled out like the odd ones out. And then he says, فَطُوبَى لِلْغُرَبَى. Glad tidings for those Muslims who will be Muslims on those days. Glad tidings for those who will be considered to be the odd ones out in that zamana. Those who will stick to the iman and Islam. Those who will withstand the onslaught of Islamophobia. Those who will withstand the threats of kuffar against Islam. Those who will withhold themselves from the temptations of dunya. If they are to give up the iman and Islam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Tuba lil ghuraba." You know, when we hear incidents taking place today in the dunya, a man was killed by his neighbor because of being a Muslim. Somebody was harmed because of being a Muslim. Happens a lot in some countries in the West. Then what comes to my mind is tuba lil ghuraba. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given glad tidings for people like that. Nobody asks for takleef. Nobody asks to be attacked, respected friends and allies, and to be put in that condition. But if a person had to be called a Usama in a derogatory way, and a person had to be called some derogatory term because of being a Muslim, then remind yourself, tuba lil ghuraba. It is for people like me that the Nabi of Allah gave this glad tidings. Glad tidings of Jannah. Tuba is shajaratun fil Jannah. Glad tidings meaning glad tidings of Jannah for those people who will be considered the odd ones out. Unfortunately, we find sometimes, respected friends and elders, because of weakness of iman, that a person with the name of Muhammad, Ahmad, Ismail and Ibrahim, when he is faced with these type of temptations and onslaught and threats, etc., then he can't withstand. He gives in, he becomes a victim, respected friends and elders. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. That is the greatest calamity that can befall any Muslim today. That because of the environment around him, he gives up his iman. In some places people feel that, you know what, maybe I should just remove the beard. They mustn't know that I'm a Muslim. Maybe I shouldn't dress as a Muslim. That's the beginning of an end. That's the beginning of an end, respected friends and elders. Once you will compromise on one, it might lead to another and another, and Allah save us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the time will come, the fitna will be so bad. يُصْبِحُ الرَّجُلُ مُؤْمِنًا. In the morning he'll be a believer, but by the evening he'll be a kafir. وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا. Oh, يُمْسِي مُؤْمِنًا. Or there may be some who are believers in the evening. وَيُصْبِحُ كَافِرًا. By the next morning, in one night his iman will leave him. يَبِيعُ دِينَهُ بِعَرَضٍ مِّنَ الدُّنْيَا. This is the temptation, respected friends and elders. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a man will be prepared to sell his deen. يَبِيعُ دِينَهُ. He will sell it. بِعَرَضٍ مِّنَ الدُّنْيَا. For some worldly gain. Where maybe it would have been so he can be part of a particular circle of friends. Could be because of a particular woman. Could be because he could earn more wealth. Could be because he could be given a particular position in society, etc. Whatever dunya it may be, in whichever form it may be, a time will come, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when this great calamity will befall some people, they will sell their deen. They will give up their deen. Respected friends and others, Sahaba radiallahu anhum's incidents are enough. Alhamdulillah, we hear them time and again in the ta'aleem, in the bayans, etc. These are all lessons for us now. It's not just something in history that happened, and then we say radiallahu anhum. Yes, we say radiallahu anhum wa ardahum. Allah must be pleased with them, and Allah make them pleased as well. Allah please them as well. But these are all inspirations for ourselves. So this hadith, Bada al-Islamu ghariba, Islam started as something strange, odd, downtrodden, peculiar. وَسَيَعُودُ غَرِيبًا كَمَا بَدَى. A time will come when it will return to that condition. فَطُوبَى لِلْغُرَبَى. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, glad tidings to those Muslims who will be considered the odd ones out, the ghuraba at that time. This is the famous explanation of this hadith. But respected friends and elders, ulama and our akabir explain that together with informing the ummah of the threats outside, together with mentioning the warnings that have come in Quran and hadith, we should be giving hope to the ummah. My Ustad Shaykh Muhammad Awama Hafizahullah Medina Munawara always mentions that give hope to the ummah. And our akab will all mention the same, respected friends and elders. There's an explanation of this hadith that also applies, given by Shaykh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda Rahimahullah. My Ustad's Ustad from Syria, when he had visited the Merkez in Nizamuddin, Mona Ibrahim Devla Sahab Hafizahullah had mentioned this. He says when Shaykh Abdul Fattah Rahimahullah came, then he mentioned this hadith. And then he says, normally this is the explanation that is given, and that's the explanation I just gave you, that Islam started as ghareeb, and that is correct. Islam started as something odd. And it will return to that state. That is also one valid and legitimate explanation, and we see the realization of that today. He says, but there is another explanation as well that can be added to this. He says, Bada al-Islamu ghareeban actually means, Bada al-Islamu bad'an ghareeban. Islam started, meaning Islam started to spread in a very unique manner, in a very strange manner. In other words, despite all the onslaught being against Islam and the Muslims, despite the fact that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba were so few in number, everything was against them. Whole of Makkah, and not just the whole of Makkah, after making Hijrah, in the battle of the trench, the battle of Ahzab, is called the battle of Ahzab, the allied forces. The whole of Arabia ganged up, all the major clans, respected friends and elders, against Medina to attack Medina and wipe out Islam from the face of the earth once and for all. The whole, in other words, the known world to them, the entire Arabian Peninsula turned against them. Despite that onslaught, despite that attack on Islam from all ends, despite so much of punishment to so many different Sahaba radiallahu anhum, despite so many wars and battles against Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still allowed Islam to spread in a unique way. Bada al-Islamu bad'an ghariban. It started, meaning in a unique way it spread. Against all odds it spread. Despite all the antagonization against Islam. Everything was against Islam and the Muslims. But when Fath Makkah occurred, respected friends and elders, Fath Makkah 19 years after, or 21 years after Nubuwwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 13 years Rasulullah SAW and Sahaba suffered in Makkah at the hands of Kuffar in Makkah. Then for the next 6 years after Hijrah, again there were wars upon wars upon wars, battle upon battle. 18 years of war there was. The number of Muslims by that time, by the time when the peace treaty was signed in Sulh Hudaybiyah, the 6th year of Hijrah, was less than 2,000. The known Muslims, there may have been a few more or less. Roughly, let's say 2,000, respected friends and elders. In Fath Makkah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to Makkah 2 years later. 2 years later, with 8,000 Sahaba radiallahu anhum. In Makkah, 2,000 more accept Islam. All those very people who stood up against Islam, all those people who came in those wars and battles against Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, were now falling to Islam, were now accepting Islam. Wahshi radiallahu anhu, the one who killed Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu anhu, causing so much of grief to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, accepts Islam. Hind, the wife of Abu Sufyan, who chewed on the liver of Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu anhu, who was such a staunch enemy and an arch enemy of Islam, also accepts Islam. Whoever was there accepted Islam, respected friends and elders. In a unique way, how this happened only Allah knows. And by the time the Nabi of Allah left this dunya, 2 years after that, approximately 124,000 Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Allah mentioned that in Quran, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. Now you are suffering. Now there's these attacks against Islam. Allah tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. When the help of Allah will come. Not if the help of Allah. The help of Allah will definitely come. كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْلِبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُلِي إِنَّا لَنَنْصُرُ رُسُلَنَا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْأَشْهَادِ. Allah says, we will help. We will definitely help the messenger and the believers in this worldly life. Allah's help will definitely come. When it comes, وَالْفَتْحِ, and the victory will come. Makkah will fall. وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. Then you will see the people entering the deen of Islam in large groups, in armies. That's exactly what happened, respected friends and elders. Shaykh Abdul Fattah rahimahullah explained, he says, this hadith has this meaning as well, that Islam started to spread in a very unique manner. وَسَيَعُودُ عُودًا غَرِيبًا. Islam will return to its glory days. In other words, we will go through different phases. There will be a degeneration, yes, but when Islam will be restored, يَعُود, yeah, restored, return to its days of glory, it will be restored also in a unique manner. That now we may be suffering. Now by and large in the dunya, Muslims are the ones who are most mazloom. And they are mazloom, respected friends and allies, by the millions. By the millions, Muslims are being mazloom. Was there ever a time like this before in history? Allahu alam. Such degeneration, so much of suppression and oppression against Islam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change the winds. And when Allah does it, Allah is definitely going to help Islam. Allah is definitely going to return Islam to its glory days. How it will happen? Despite all this onslaught, despite everything being against Islam and the Muslims, besides there being all those allied forces and United Nations against Islam and the Muslims, respected friends and elders, وَسَيَعُودُ عُودًا غَرِيبًا. Its return, its restoration to the glaze of glory also will be unique, like it happened in those days. فَطُوبَى لِلْغُرَبَى. Glad tidings for those who Allah uses to restore the deen of Islam to its days of glory. So respected friends and elders, on one hand, yes, we are suffering. Muslims are suffering in all forms, whether it be poverty, whether it be war, whether it be loss of wealth, loss of near and dear ones, threats, etc. But on the other hand, there's a lot to look forward to. On the other hand, respected friends and allies, all we need to do is hold on, like Sahaba radiallahu anhum held on. Bilal radiallahu anhum was being punished and persecuted and hit. Give up your Islam, directly being told, give up your Islam, give up your Iman. But he held on. And then Allah brought the days of glory and ease and comfort for them. Khabbab radiallahu anhu, like your Musab and so many other Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they made that sabr for that period of time. And then Allah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought his help and his assistance, and Allah spread the winds of hidayah, then Islam spread to the entire known globe at that time, respected friends and elders. Islam spread, like we say, like wildfire. All we need to do is hold on to our Iman, hold on to our Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show us those glory days in our lifetime. But if it doesn't happen, respected friends and elders, at least we will take our Iman and go. We will not give up our Iman at any cost. This is a lesson we need to take back home. Share this with our women and children at home, respected friends and elders. On one hand, we have taught them the importance of dunya. We have taught them the importance of worldly education and earning a livelihood, which is all, yes, one of the needs of life. And we have taught them the value of dunya, and sometimes more than was supposed to be taught. Teach them the value of deen, respected friends and elders. Show them that deen in Islam is what comes first, our Iman is first. No matter what kind of offer, no matter what the situation may be, no matter how hostile the situation is against my Iman and my Islam, I will never give it up. Sayyidina Salim Mawla Abi Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, maybe I quoted his example before also here, is also a living example, a great Qari of Quran. A time comes when he is given the flag of the Muhajirun in the battle. And the Kuffar start attacking. And they chop his right hand, he holds it with the left hand. They chop his left hand, he holds it between his bosom. And the author who mentions this qissa mentions as if Salim Mawla Abi Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu was saying, I'll give up everything, but I can't give up my Iman and Islam. بِئْسَ حَامِرُ الْقُرْآنِ أَنَا إِنْ أُتِيَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ مِنْ قِبَلِي. I have to keep this flag high. I have to keep the flag of Iman and Islam high. What a bad hafiz of Quran I would be if I have to let the Muslims down. Respected friends and elders, this has to be in our minds. بِئْسَ مُسْلِمٌ أَنَا. What a evil Muslim I would be if I have to give up Iman and Islam. If I have to let down Islam and the Muslims. If I have to sell even one command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What kind of a Muslim am I that I'm giving up the command of Allah in exchange of something of the dunya? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to understand what was said. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala restore the days of glory of Islam and the Muslims in this dunya soon and very soon. And Allah remove the suffering of the Muslims wherever they may be. And Allah save us from all these types of tests and tribulations. Allah save us from the greatest threat to any Muslim today, and that is the threat of Islamophobia. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.